Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you for another episode of The Best Hour. And I'm joined again this morning with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Today we're going to be going through Lesson 71 in A Course in Miracles in the workbook. You can find us at truththought.org, truththought.org. You can also find us at blogtalkradio.com for our podcast issue there. Episode there, just search for The Best Hour or just go to blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. Let's join together in preparation before we begin by joining in a moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. Only God's plan for salvation will work. You may not realize that the ego has set up a plan for salvation in opposition to God's. It is this plan in which you believe. Since it is the opposite of God's, you also believe that to accept God's plan in place of the ego's is to be damned. This sounds preposterous, of course. Yet after we've considered just what the ego's plan is, perhaps you will realize that, however preposterous it may be, you do believe it.
The ego's plan for salvation centers around holding grievances. It maintains that if someone else spoke or acted differently, if some external circumstance or event were changed, you would be saved. Thus, the source of salvation is constantly perceived as outside yourself.
Each grievance you hold is a declaration and an assertion in which you believe that says, if this were different, I would be saved. The change of mind that is necessary for salvation is thus demanded of everyone and everything except yourself.
The role assigned to your own mind in this plan, then, is simply to determine what other than itself must change if you are to be saved. According to this insane plan, any perceived source of salvation is acceptable, provided that it will not work. This ensures that the fruitless search will continue, for the illusion persists that, although this hope has always failed, there are still grounds for hope in other places and in other things. Another person will yet serve better. Another situation will yet offer success.
Such is the ego's plan for your salvation. Surely you can see how it is in strict accord with the ego's basic doctrine, seek but do not find. For what could more surely guarantee that you will not find salvation than to channelize all your efforts in the search for what is not there?
God's plan for salvation works simply because by following God's direction, you seek for salvation where it is. But if you are to succeed, as God promises you will, you must be willing to seek there only. Otherwise, your purpose is divided and you will attempt to follow two plans for salvation, which are diametrically opposed in all ways. The result can only bring confusion, misery, and a deep sense of failure and despair.
How can you escape all this? Very simply, the idea for today is the answer. Only God's plan for salvation will work. There can be no real conflict about this because there is no possible alternative to God's plan that will save you. His is the only plan that is certain in its outcome. His is the only plan that must succeed.
Let us practice recognizing this certainty today, and let us rejoice that there is an answer to what seems to be a conflict with no resolution possible. All things are possible to God. Salvation must be yours because of God's plan, which cannot fail.
Begin the two longer practice periods for today by thinking about today's idea and realizing that it contains two parts, each making equal contribution to the whole. God's plan for your salvation will work and other plans will not. Do not allow yourself to become depressed or angry at the second part. It is inherent in the first. And in the first is your full release from all your own insane attempts and mad proposals to free yourself. They have led to depression and anger, but God's plan will succeed. It will lead to release and joy.
Remembering this, let us devote the remainder of the extended practice periods to asking God to reveal God's plan to us. Ask God very specifically, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom?
Give him full charge of the rest of the practice period, and let him tell you what needs to be done by you and his plan for your salvation. He will answer you in proportion to your willingness to hear his voice. Refuse not to hear. The very fact that you're doing the exercises proves that you have some willingness to listen. This is enough to establish your claim to God's answer.
In the shorter practice periods, tell yourself often that God's plan for salvation and only God's will work. Be alert to all temptations to hold grievances today and respond to them with this form of today's idea. Holding grievances is the opposite of God's plan for salvation, and only God's plan will work.
Try to remember the idea for today some 6 or 7 times an hour. There could be no better way to spend a half minute or less than to remember the source of your salvation and to see it where it is. Only God's plan for salvation will work, and so it is. Again, let's join together for a moment of silence. Let's take another good deep breath here. You know, we've been talking about grievances quite a bit lately, you know, in the context of the lessons that we're studying here in the Course in Miracles. And so, you know, we were tossing around, you know, what is a grievance? Well, a grievance is an idea, and, you know, in my explanation of it, is it's an idea, which is a judgment, if you will. So we'll say it's a judgment that we refuse to let go of. We've made a judgment, but rather than to release it, we're holding on to it, right? And if it persists, it can turn into, you know, vengeance. We feel like vengeance is the only way to alleviate the disturbance of the grievance. You know, this person did something to me or did something to somebody that I love, and I've got a bone, I got to pick with you. I got this issue, right? Mm-hmm. And if I can't get clarity, if I can't get, you know, release, if I can't experience forgiveness, or if I can't experience that some justice for what I believe to be or perceive to be, you know, that it's happened, then it can turn into vengeance, and I want to then even move into, you know, get even. And so we've said that the ego's operating parameter is from suspicious to vicious. So we can look at a grievance really as we think that something's happened. We believe it's true. We believe that it's actual reality and that it flies in the face of what we believe to be justice, you know, or balance or equal treatment or whatever we want to say it is. And then we go about trying to balance that scale. But what we're really saying, what the ego's refusing to be aware of, is that God's asleep at the wheel and there is injustice going on and it's our job to make it right. It's the ego's job to make it right. Of course, you can't. You know, everyone has free will and they have a right to be here and they have a right to express in whatever way they care to. Even if it appears to be in our opinion, in our positionality, it appears to be, a really harmful or bad thing. That doesn't mean that we wouldn't stand for integrity and say, no, stand for love, which when I say stand for integrity, I mean that we're standing up for love and saying, no, you can't. I'm going to get between whatever's happening that's harming someone that's innocent or whatever. But the point is, it's just first and foremost, always going to God first, or going to his voice first, or going to the heart space first, and asking that voice of wisdom, and what is the truth? How should I be seeing this situation? And that voice might indeed say, you need to stand up and protect this person, or you need to stand up and take some action. But by and large, if we're operating from the ego, we're operating from fear. We've run into round or completely ignored, you know, going to that heart space and connecting with source. And we're acting out of fear, and we're acting out of the basis of anger, and the basis of attack is fear. And so I believe it's really instructive to go back, whatever that situation might be that we think we're having a grievance about, and asking myself, what is it that I'm afraid of? This situation is showing me everything that's happening is my lesson. I'm in classroom. I'm in lesson. Every moment of the day, literally, is an opportunity for learning about what? About my true self. Mm-hmm. That's why I came here, is to learn where I'm at in relation to my thinking, in relation to, you know, who I truly am. And so that's the goal. And once we understand what the goal is, the means and end are one. We begin now to practice by questioning ourselves, not what's going on outside. We begin to join with spirit and allowing that voice to guide and lead, so we can begin to, we begin to run around fear. We begin to sidestep things that we have no, it's none of our business. It's not our area. We don't need to be involved in it at all, because it's illusion. It's illusory. It's an illusionary construct that others and ourselves might be engaged in, and we can rise above the battlefield. We step out, and the grievance, we let it go. The idea that we are even capable of making a reasonable judgment of what justice is insane. And we step back from that thinking, and we allow spirit then to be the voice and the action and the guide of the action that, if any, that we would take. And sometimes it's nothing more than to forgive ourselves for having the idea that something's wrong, because everything ultimately is of God. Mm-hmm. And we see past and move past our idea of what's wrong when we're joined with spirit and we know the truth. God's plan, and only God's plan, for salvation, and salvation is to wake up to the truth of who and what we are. And that plan is the only one that will work. The ego's plan is, and I love how he's pointed it out clearly here, is seek but do not find. Mm.
Mm. Really great. Great stuff. So I would like to pull the thread, another thread, and truly a thread from yesterday's lesson. So we've talked about judgment. We've talked about a grievance being a judgment that we're not willing to let go of. And we've talked about the idea that these things are really pointing to fear. So what am I afraid of? So we've got judgment, grievance, fear, the fourth horseman, or whatever, the fourth is guilt. What role does guilt play? Because yesterday's lesson talked about that salvation comes from me, that guilt is, you know, an insane thought within my own mind that I created, and therefore the solution for my salvation must be where the issue is. My salvation comes from me. But can you explain what the relationship of guilt is with judgment, grievance, fear, and this conversation?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, you know, because when we look at a judgment, we're talking about anything but God, because God doesn't judge. Love does not judge, right? So we are in, where we're considering the realm of judgment, we're in the ego mind. We're in that construct. And the judgment is always coming from first we judge ourselves. We see ourselves as guilty of something. And it's very uncomfortable. And unconsciously or consciously, we project it out onto the world. So the guilt is already there. It's we've judged ourselves. There's only one judgment, really, that we've separated ourselves from love. And it just feels like hell, right? Because that's our natural state of being. And this experience of separation is we can't seem to find and I love that you use the term thread. We can't seem to find the threads to find our way home, right? And so we are self-judging that we're guilty, that we've done something, we've offended God, we've broken the channel of communication, and we don't understand it, especially from an egoic perspective. We just know in our heart there's an uneasiness that something's gone, something's missing. So the judgment is always of ourselves first and foremost. Now we've done that, we cover it up, we ignore it, and we're looking out on the world with the body's eyes and the body senses, and now we see, we perceive something, and it literally mirrors a judgment that we have against ourselves. It mirrors separation. It mirrors the insanity of what separation is. It mirrors a lack of love. And when we think something's not justified, well, that must not be loving. You know, so the ego even has its own idea of what love is, mm-hmm. and it's conditional as hell, right? Mm-hmm. And so the ego's idea then becomes of self-guilt, becomes one of projection through the process of judgment. And then the judgment, we lay it out there on the world, and we want to hold it and stake it and keep it there because that keeps us. And the guilt is out there. It's not here. Mm-hmm. And then once we stake it there, we want to validate that to make the statement to ourselves or to prove to ourselves that we're better than that. It's that's worse than what we judged ourselves for. And that becomes our myopic focus. And we just pin it out there. Mm-hmm. And then that's where vengeance ultimately comes in. But the grievance is mm-hmm. the first step of that.
Mm-hmm. So the ego's plan for salvation centers around holding grievances. And it maintains that if someone, something, anything would change, I would be saved. But it does not bring it home, does not bring it to our very own mind or our very own self. So it is, if this were different, I would be saved.
Yeah, but that's
the
trick.
This is always something outside of ourselves.
Right. But that's the trick, see, because mm-hmm. the salvation for the ego is that nothing can be fixed.
Right.
And the trick is,
keep it broken.
The trick is but you can fix it. The ego says, oh, you go, seek but do not find. Go find salvation. Mm-hmm. Here's something. There's injustice over there. Go fix that. Well, you can't because it's all illusion. It's mm-hmm. all illusory. And so we, the Christ child, is distracted and busy mm-hmm. with all this doingness of judgment, judgment, judgment. You know, that's why we're suspicious. Who's more guilty than me? Where's this judgment coming from? You know, mm-hmm. we're suspicious. So we're always looking for guilt. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for a reason to have a grievance. Mm-hmm. I know some people that just can't get through the day without it, right? Mm-hmm. That of being, and that's where the victim consciousness comes in, right? That they see there's a victim. Mm-hmm. This person's a victim. That person's a victim. I'm a victim. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's a trick because the ego can only survive. That's the ego's salvation, is that we keep seeking for what cannot be found. Mm-hmm. Because when we give up that gain, we find ourselves mm-hmm. and we are indeed saved. Mm-hmm. Because we're not giving our mind to illusion anymore.
Mm-hmm. So I think the importance of this lesson that only God's plan for salvation will work. I love that there are two parts to this. God's plan for salvation will work. And the second part is others will not. And so it really wipes out the ego's battle cry of seek but do not find. It's like, no, here's the answer. Here's the solution. And nothing else will work. And so it kind of closes the door on the wandering mind, that wants to find it somewhere else. It's like, no, this is it. This is the only plan that will work. It will succeed. It's actually guaranteed to succeed. And I like that it says, and in the first, which is only God's plan for salvation will work, is your full release from all your own insane attempts and mad proposals to free yourself. They have led to depression and anger. Mm-hmm. But God's plan will succeed. It will lead to release and joy. And so what do we want? Do we want a continuation of depression and anger? Keep looking elsewhere. Do we want to succeed? Do we want a release and joy? Do we truly want it? Because there has to be a willingness to let go of all of the story and the drama, connect it with the seek but do not find, all the kvetching, all the, you know, boy, did you, you know, boy, I thought this was really going to work out and it didn't, and how we can become so attached to it, our grievances, you know, and the ways that we connect with one another based upon anger, based upon depression, based upon grievances. Be very mindful of how you connect and where you think you have an intimacy with somebody. And if it is on a grievance, and if that's the connection, or if it's justice out in the world, That is not a true integrous connection. And it keeps us seeking and not finding. And so this is the only plan that will work. And I love that this lesson leads us with the beauty of the humility of I do not know of my own self. I know and do nothing. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? That we are now in a divine partnership. We're not autonomous. We're not, you know, separate anymore. We are in a divine partnership with Spirit. And the answer will be in proportion to our willingness to hear God's voice. Refuse not to hear. So our willingness, cultivate our willingness to hear, our willingness to be saved, our willingness to be guided and led by God, and be alert to all temptations to hold a grievance today. How good it is that we have that as our signposts to catch ourselves, that when I have a grievance, I can remind myself that holding a grievance is in opposition. It's a sign that says, okay, I'm following the ego's plan now because that is the ego's plan. Recognize it, catch it, and then just remind ourselves gently that only God's plan will work. And it leads to joy and release.
It does indeed.
Only God's plan for salvation will work.
And so it is. Thank you, Mighty Companion, for hanging out with us. We love you. God bless you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in